Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music, and what a blessing it's already been just being here in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 4, Philippians in chapter 4, we are in our Faith Promise Missions Month, and I believe this is where God would have us to be this morning in Philippians in chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 15 down to verse 20. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 15, read down to verse 20. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you, we do love you, Lord, and we do want to glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for how you work in our lives and for giving us this opportunity to assemble ourselves together today. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord God, that we have the eternal word that you have preserved for us, and we can read it and study it and hear it preached to be able to know more about your will for our lives. I ask, God, that you'd meet with us in a very special way. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The great preacher / missionary / apostle Paul was addressing the believers of the church at Philippi. And this letter, this epistle, the Philippians is an epistle, Paul, to the church there at Philippi. And, of course, not only was it Paul writing it, but Paul was being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, knowing this would be the eternal Word of God that he would preserve for the church age, the New Testament truths that we have to live by as a church. And so, as Paul was addressing the believers at the church, he was addressing them, and especially here at the end, concerning their faith, I believe, promised missions giving to Paul. Now, it was what they had given as God would have them to give to be able to support Paul, who would be on the mission field, preaching the gospel, doing the work that God had called him to do. And so he's acknowledging that. In verse 15 and 16, that's what Paul is saying. He said, "Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," he was sent out, "no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So he's acknowledging that they are communicating with him concerning giving. And he said, "You sent once and again unto my necessity," being able to meet a need that Paul had to continue doing the work that God had called him to do. And that was the work of missions, seeing souls saved and establishing New Testament churches. Verse 17, Paul acknowledges their account. Now he's acknowledging them. He says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Can I tell you that every one of us has an account before God? Verse 18, their giving, he says, was a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. As they were giving to Paul, they were giving as God would have them to give. And he said it was a sacrificial giving, but it was well-pleasing to God. Because of that, this is rewarded in a promise. And a verse that most of us have put to memory that you might go back to from time to time, and I think we ought to, and claim this victory, claim this verse as a believer. The promise was, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But God shall supply all your need. Now, he was addressing the church at Philippi, the believers. But I believe that this can be something that every believer who meets these qualifications can claim as well. God shall supply all your need. Now, whatever our need would be. Can I tell you, according to the Word of God, the need is never greater than what God can supply. No matter what the need is, it's never greater than what God, who created all things, can supply. As we study the Scriptures, there's no doubt in studying the Scriptures that we can learn that God wants us to know and pray that he would supply all our needs. In the book of Malachi, in chapter 3, he tells Israel, he said, "Prove me now. Just do what I ask you to do, prove what I've commanded you to do, and prove me to see if I don't bless you, opening the windows of heaven, meeting whatever needs you might have from heaven." Can I tell you, as a pastor, I pray often for God to meet needs. Spiritual needs and physical needs. And as a pastor, I'm so thankful that I have this understanding of the Scriptures and knowing that God wants us to know that if we look to him and meet whatever qualifications he wants us to meet, that we can have our needs met. I don't want anyone to be dependent upon the church, because the church cannot sustain anybody indefinitely. I believe God has a church here, and the church helps, and the church is a tool that God works through to be a blessing to others, as God would have us to be a blessing. But no one, the church cannot sustain anyone throughout their lives concerning meeting their needs constantly. But can I tell you that the church, as we point people to God and help them to know what Paul is presenting here, that my God shall supply all your need if you'll just look to him and do what he says to do. God wants people to know that he can take care of you. God can sustain an individual indefinitely. So as a church, we don't want people to get dependent upon the church. We want people to know God and get dependent upon God meeting their need. Because he can sustain them. I pray for needs. Most of you know, on Saturday nights, this is my prayer closet here at the church. And last night, I had the membership list open, and I was going through and praying for the needs of our people. I was praying for the spiritual needs, and I was praying for, as I go down through it, I put myself in your home, and whatever needs that you might, that I'm aware of, then I pray for you, and I pray that God would meet that need. Praise the Lord for that. I believe God wants us to know and to pray for God to meet needs. In the book of Ephesians, if you look over there with me real quick here, Ephesians in chapter 3, just a few pages back here, we find Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And in chapter 3 and verse 20 and verse 21, he says this: "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," that's God, "able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us," God in us, as believers, "unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Wow. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. There, and then Philippians in chapter 4, again, we read later on the end part of chapter 4, but look what he says in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And as you look to God and believe that God can meet a need, and you're making that request to be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ because you can know that God wants to supply all our needs. Amen. And He's able to do it. So based on that, based on what the scriptures teach, based on what God would have us to pray for and what God would have us to know, the message I want to preach to you this morning is simply this: why your needs are not being met. No doubt if you study the scriptures and God reveals exactly what He has for us to understand and know, He wants us to know these things. If God says, "I want to supply your need," then why? Our needs are not being met. The need is that which is necessary. Can't do without. It's a need. As we study the scriptures and we see what God reveals to us, the very first thing that comes to mind is we find that I believe that there's reason here. The Bible says, "But God, my God, shall supply all your need." And underline that word need. Because the first reason that you might think that God is not meeting your need, it could be that it's not really a need. And I believe God wants to give us the desires of our heart. I believe God wants, and God will answer prayer. Sometimes that prayer is a no answer. But the first thing that might come to mind that we need to be aware of, if I think that, why is God not meeting my need? The first thing that I have to look at is this really a need? Because we fight spiritual battles. According to the Word of God, Satan is very much alive and well, and this is his domain, and he is looking to deceive and to lie. And if he can blind you to the truth, he wants to blind you to the truth. If he can get you to believe a lie, thinking that there is a need when there's not really a need, he would love to be able to do that, because when it's not something that God is going to provide, then he'll use that to hinder your faith and hinder your trust and belief in God. There's spiritual activity taking place. I do believe that God is in control of all things. Not that God causes everything to happen. He has established natural things, and he's established a plan that he has. When God works opposite nature, that is called a miracle, because God can work opposite of nature because he established natural things. He established the way of the nature, if you will. God established that. And so when God works opposite that, when there's a miracle needed, God can work a miracle that works opposite nature. He can do that. He's able to do that. And I believe that he does control all things, but he has to allow certain things. It must need be that offenses come. Why? Because this day and age, he's allowed Satan to tempt. He's allowed Satan to do his work. So Satan would love to blind us to what we really need. Matter of fact, in the book of James in chapter 4, and if I go too fast for you, I'm giving you scripture, write them down and go back later and study them to make sure of what the Word of God is saying to us. But in James in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he says this: "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." So if Satan can get us to think that we have a need that's not really a need, and we're asking God to meet a need that's really based upon a lust, we don't have it, then we, because of deception, can question whether or not God is really able to meet our needs. In Genesis in chapter 3, and we'll not turn there for sake of time, but we find that Satan came and he tempted Eve after God had instructed them and provided for them all their need. But in providing for them all their need, and I believe all they should have even been able to desire, because he put them in the Garden of Eden and it was all prepared for them. Everything, all of God's creation was prepared for man, God's final creation, and that was mankind. And I believe that they had all that they could possibly even desire until the temptation came, because there was a test. Because God says, you have all of this other, but just don't partake of this fruit. And Satan come, and that's exactly what he got Eve to focus on. And because she was deceived in thinking that she had a need for that fruit. Satan said to Eve, if you will, you deserve more. Now, wait, stop and think about it. If you really understand what God did, created all things, put her in the garden of paradise, and there was no really need, there was no want. I mean, everything that she could have wanted and needed outside of disobedience to God was there provided. And Satan, the very same evil spirit that he was then and is today, he would come to her and he said, you really deserve more. And the only reason that God forbids you from having that is because he knows when you take that, you're going to be as gods and you're going to have more than what he had wanted you to have. And so he says, you deserve more. And too often, Satan uses that very same tactic in this 21st century. And he's telling believers, you deserve more. You deserve more. Many times, these thoughts come when there is more going on than what we can see. John the Baptist, Wednesday night, we're in a series on going through the life of John the Baptist. And he prepared for 30 years for a 6 month to a year ministry. And pointing people to Christ right after this, and after he baptizes Jesus, and he says, I must decrease, he must increase. Right after this, we're going to find that John is put in prison. And being in prison, there is so much going on in John, so much spiritual battles, and Satan trying to destroy John, that he even sends some to question Christ on whether he is the one or they should look for another. Now, John, no doubt, Satan was saying, John, you've given your life to point people to Christ. You deserve more. Why is he leaving you in jail? Don't you have a need to be delivered? Don't you have a need for God to take you out of the jailhouse? And he's not meeting your need. Now, if you find later on, Peter in the book of Acts is in the jailhouse, and God sends an angel, and he delivers Peter out of the jailhouse. Amen. Miraculously, he worked against the laws of nature. God was able, but in John's case, he did not deliver him. And Satan's trying to use that, and he's saying, you deserve better. If he truly loved you as you love him, he wouldn't let you rot in this jailhouse. So did John really have a need to be delivered from jail? Or was there more going on that John just couldn't see at the time? God was going to be glorified through John's homegoing. He didn't understand all that at the time. Stephen was out preaching the gospel. He was conducting revival services. And there was a young Pharisee by the name of Saul come upon Stephen. And he said, stone him to death. And he held the garments of those that would pick up stones to stone Stephen. And God didn't deliver Stephen.
And Stephen was there, and as he started getting hit with the stones, he could have had this thought in his mind if he would have allowed Satan to control his thoughts. He could have been saying, I don't deserve to be stoned. God, why are you allowing them to throw stones at me? I have a need to be delivered. Did he really have a need to be delivered? Or was God going to be glorified and impact the life of this man called Saul, who would later become Paul, mainly because of the testimony of Stephen? Lazarus, Martha and Mary, friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus gets sick. They start praying, Lord, heal him. Lord, you know we can't live without our brother. God, you know that it's a need that we have that you lift him up and give him life. Don't let him die. Surely you're God, you're the Christ, you can raise the dead. And the answer is yes, he can. And he could have. But Lazarus dies. Lord, you didn't meet my need. You know I can't live without him. You didn't meet my need. Was it really a need? Or would God, Christ, come 4 days later after they put him in a tomb? And then say, Lazarus, come forth. It wasn't the need at the time. Wow. So my God shall supply all your need. When it's not being supplied, don't doubt God. Maybe there's things going on that you can't see at the time. Ask for greater faith and for grace to make it through. Because Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says, unto verse 20, now unto God and our Father be glory. God is not working to meet our need to glorify us. God is working in meeting our need to be able to glorify him. Don't question God. Ask for greater faith. It seems like God's not meeting your need. It could be that it's not really a need, at least at this time. And just ask God to increase your faith and give you grace to help as you make it through. While your needs are not being met, well, maybe it's not really a need. The second thing that we find is God might be testing and thereby growing your faith through what's taken place. Paul said, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that may abound to your account. That you might be strengthened in your account with God, in your relationship, in your walk with God. That God might work in your life to strengthen you, to get you from point A to point B. To get you from this child in your faith, as far as your spiritual maturity, until this grown man, where you're able to have meat of the scriptures. Could be that God might be testing and thereby growing your faith through that. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes here in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice through now for a season, if need be. We go through testings and trials. Understand that there's a need for every trial that God would put his child through. Yeah. Whatever you're going through, if you're a child of God, know that there's a reason and a purpose for that. That's what he's saying. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Not that it's not a need. It might be a need. And not that God's not going to supply it, but just not right now. Maybe we're in need of some patience. God is working on His timetables and not our timetables. So you might find yourself and you have a need and you're crying out, God, why aren't you meeting this need? It could be God saying, I just want you to trust in me. And as your faith is increased, you'll find the needs being met. Praise the Lord for it. Well, thirdly this morning, why your needs are not being met? Maybe it's not a need. Maybe God is taking you through a trial, a testing to grow your faith. Or maybe you violated some kind of a biblical principle. If you're violating a biblical principle, then you're not positioning yourself for God to meet that need. In Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 15, we find here that Paul says to them, he says, what you've given is a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. They had positioned themselves for God to work in their lives. Concerning giving. If you violate a biblical principle concerning giving, don't expect for God to give. What do you mean, preacher, a biblical principle? Well, praise the Lord for it. I love the Old Testament because every story has biblical principles attached to it. And once you learn that biblical principle attached to that story, then you'll find it given to us in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 21, and there's so many biblical principles found in the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. We don't have time to go through all of them, but let me just share this one concerning giving. Concerning giving, they had positioned themselves for God to work in their lives concerning giving and receiving. They positioned themselves. Well, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13 says this, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall also cry himself, but shall not be heard. Somebody who is not willing to be used by God to help somebody in need. If you're not willing to help somebody in need and God has revealed that need to you and God has given to you so that you might be able to help somebody in need and you refuse, you just violated the biblical principle. If you violate that, if that's how you're living your life, violating the biblical principles that God has established, you've not positioned yourself as the church at Philippi had positioned themselves to receive all their needs being supplied. Amen. Amen. We don't stop there. Look on over to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 27. This is a biblical principle you'll find throughout the Scriptures. You have to give to get. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 27, the Bible says this, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. God said this is a biblical principle. Instead of being blessed, if you hide your eyes from the poor, if you try to block it all out and not want to reach those that have needs, and you just turn away and just think of yourselves, listen to me, you have violated a principle, and what God says will take place, shall have many a curse. If God is cursing because you have violated biblical principle, don't expect God to supply all your need. Somebody says, I need a friend. I believe we do need friends. I believe that's a part in this life. You have to, I think it's something that you need a friend. But are you showing yourself to be a friend? If you're not showing yourself to be a friend, then You might have a need for a friend, but don't expect God to meet that need. Why? You have violated a biblical principle of not showing yourself to be a friend. Once you get that biblical principle established in your life, then you can look to God. And I guarantee you, if you do what God says to do, you will open yourself up to the positioning yourself to having the blessings of God. And the blessings of God is, I shall supply all your need. Most of the time, you're focused on one person. And you say, you think, I need them as my friend. God, I need that person to be my friend. And it's all about you. And God says, that's not the way it works.
Amen. That's right.
Show yourself to be a friend. There's a lot of people who need a friend.
That's right.
And once you show yourself to be a friend, can I tell you what God will do? He'll give you, send you friends.
Yeah.
Biblical principle. Biblical principle. Some might say, I need to hear from God. I'm just not hearing. And sometimes they have this thinking that they're going to hear an audible voice from God. And they say, I need to hear an audible voice from God. And God does not work that way today. There's no need for that. Why? Because God has given us, completed his eternal word.
Yes, amen.
And in this New Testament church age, God works through the scriptures. There's no new revelation. There's nothing that God has to say to you that he hadn't already written down for you. Are you attending every service that you're able to be at? Because God has said that he is going to anoint and use the preaching of the word. I need to hear from God and he's not speaking to me. Listen to me. Have you violated the biblical principle of forsaking yourselves, not forsaking your assembling of yourselves together? Are you looking for God to communicate with you according to how God says I'm going to communicate with you? And if you understand that and you position yourself to hear from God, you will hear from God. So why your needs are not being met, maybe it's because you're violating a biblical principle. There's many biblical principles. But if you have a need and you don't think that God's meeting it, can I tell you, it could be. You need to research it. Am I violating a biblical principle in that area? And if so, position yourself for God to meet that need in that area. Lastly, this morning, we're done. It could be that you've unconfessed sin in your life. We have unconfessed sin in our lives. Philippians, the church at Philippi, were well-pleasing to God. If you'd read chapter 1, you find this is a church that Paul truly loved and longed for their fellowship because of their spirituality. It's how they were living. They didn't have unconfessed sin in their lives. They lived their life as well-pleasing unto the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'm praying for a need and God says you have sin in your heart and your mind, unconfessed sin, I'm not listening. That's what the Bible says. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 15, verse 29, the Bible says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. I have a need in my life, and God says, position yourself so that I can hear your request. Confess and forsake the sin in your life. I'm far from the wicked, but I'll hear your prayer if you're doing what's right. The prodigal son. You deserve more. I want it all. Dad, give it to me, every bit of it. I deserve it. And for a little while, he thought, boy, I am living high on the hog. Until the pleasure of sin for a season was behind him. And now this consequences of sin has caught up with him. And he's so messed up in his own thinking
that he's actually getting ready to eat the husk that the pigs that he was staying with, living with. That's where he was staying. His accommodations was with the pigs. And he started to eat the very same slop that the pigs were given to eat. And God allowed him to come to himself. When he came to himself, he realized the sin that he had committed toward the Father. And why he was now living amongst the pigs. And there was an easy fix. Once he realized it was unconfessed sin in my life, it's why God's not meeting my need. I'll rise and go to my Father. Father, forgive me. I'm not worthy. I'm not even worthy to be called your son any longer. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. Confess and forsake the sin in your life. And the Father said, bring on the fatted calf. Put rings on his finger. Go beyond what his needs are. Give him all of his desires. My God shall supply. If we meet those requirements, we position ourselves, my God shall supply all your needs. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a great truth from the Word of God. What a great truth. Say, preacher, my needs are not being met. I think you ought to go over this list and find out why they're not. If they're not being met, there's a reason they're not. There's a reason. And you're the only one that can change it. You're the only one that can do something about it. God wants you to have your needs met. God wants to supply all your need. Position yourself for Him. Maybe you're here this morning and it's not your God. Paul says, my God. That means it was His Heavenly Father. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Without knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have God as your Heavenly Father. Maybe this morning the reason your needs are not being met is because you don't have God as your Father. Won't you come this morning and trust Jesus Christ? Receive that gift of everlasting life that He offers. Would you do that? Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the promises that You have made to Your children. Oh God, I pray that we would all be able to claim those promises here today. There's a reason that we cannot claim those. I pray that right now that You'd reveal it to each one. Whatever changes need to be made, I pray that they'd be willing to come to this altar and commit to making those changes. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.